All right. Well, you ready for the word?
Yes,
sir. I received a text this week, and it said, "Pastor, I hope that you will, for the first time, preach a dedicated Mother's Day message." And, you know, I don't know if this, I think I've preached a dedicated Mother's Day, I don't know. I know I'm notorious for missing holidays, but I love mamas. And I've had three very influential and important women in my life. And those of you who know my story know that my dad was never part of that storyline. But I had my mother, then I had my grandmother, and now I got my wife. And each of those, especially the one sitting here on the front row, have helped steer me toward my destiny. And so today I do want to talk a bit about mothers. It won't be a long message because I know you need to go find a seat in a restaurant and be celebrated and be just absolutely bathed with compliments, and may they rise up to call you blessed. And so I want to give you time to enjoy your day. But, you know, in thinking about mothers, there's no possible way to overemphasize or exaggerate the influence that mothers have had. And, you know, it was the great James Brown that said, "It's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl." And when my wife and I were first getting started in ministry, our pastor's wife said one time, I don't know what I was talking about, it was probably some type of nonsense, and she said, "Yeah, my husband may be the head of the house, but I'm the neck that turns the head." And I know she said it jokingly, but after three decades, I've discovered that's the truth, man. And, you know, so women, moms, have an amazing influence. And this is what I want to talk about today because, and I know I'm talking to the crowd whose influence is good, but there's no denying that the strongest of men can be led to their destruction by a woman's influence. Just ask Samson. But the weakest of men can be made better and stronger and be guided to their destiny by a good woman. And we have a church full of good women today. And I just want to talk to you just for a few moments to encourage you to understand that you're worthy of celebration. Your influence is undeniable. And God has put you in such a time and such a place so that you can change a generation. You know, one time, Dr. Youngie Cho said, and I will get into the sermon in just a minute, but I remember Dr. Cho, he said it on TV, he was being challenged by the way he had modeled his church, and at this time, his church was the largest church in the world. And what he was being challenged is that he broke both cultural norms and church tradition by making the vast majority of the leaders in his church women. And I'll never forget his response. He said, "I'm not interested in cultural norms or church tradition. I want to change the world." So he worked with those who were world changers. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I had a young man come to me one time and told me that that a real man couldn't follow a woman and that I had put women in too many places of position in the church. And so he had a hard time following. And I thought that was rich coming from somebody who hadn't stepped up and volunteered for nada. I'm grateful for the women God has brought to RLC.
Yes,
and so today I want to talk to you about mom's legacy of faith. I want to talk to you about a few mothers from the Bible and one who doesn't abide within the pages of Scripture, but if Scripture hadn't been closed out, she would have been. The first person I want to talk to you about was a young lady who I don't know what she was doing, but her story, as far as we pick it up, will begin in Luke chapter 1. So if you want to put this up on the screen, Luke chapter 1, verse 31. A young girl who was just going about her daily task when she was divinely interrupted by an angel who came to her and told her, "You are favored, and God's about to do a favor for you." Now, the favor that God was going to do for her was impossible, unthinkable, and in that culture, shameful. The favor was going to take the form of a baby born out of wedlock who would change the world.
Yes, sir.
And in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, let's go ahead and read this. I want to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. The messenger said, "You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus." Verse 32, "He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne." Now, remember what I said, unthinkable and impossible. Mary addressed first the impossibility when she said, "How can this be? I've never known a man. I'm still a virgin." That's the unthinkable or the impossible part. And I want you to go to the next verse, verse 37, for this is what the messenger said to Mary. "For with God," everyone say, "with God," "nothing is ever impossible." Nothing's ever impossible with God. "And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Now I want to, the unthinkable part was in our present culture, becoming pregnant out of wedlock is not uncommon. And because it's not uncommon, as a culture, we have built a great many supports. Not denying it can still be very difficult, but there's supports in place for when that happens. But in the day of Mary, those supports were non-existent. I'm going somewhere with this. What the angel had presented that we celebrate to her would have made her a pariah, an outcast, without friends, without family. There were no support systems for her. What I'm talking about is a young girl who had crazy and courageous faith. Look at this next verse here. Oh, I don't have another verse, do I? Yes, I do. Verse 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That's all the angel had to hear. Mary, now look what she said, "according to your
word."
According to your
word.
That was the only support system she had. Mary was a mother of crazy and courageous faith, who took the messenger of God at his word and understood that nothing is impossible with God and every promise of God will be fulfilled. And she said, "According to your word, be it done unto me." And her legacy, or her faith, is our legacy.
Yes, sir.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about celebrating mothers, the influence of a mama who has crazy and courageous faith. Faith enough to believe if the only support system she has is the word of God, she'll make it through. And because Mary stepped out, that mother changed the world. The second woman I want to talk about is a lady called Sarah. Sarah was a woman of faith and patience. Now, we've all heard sermons about her husband, that Abraham had this great faith, and I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon. Maybe you have. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon about Sarah's faith. Oh, I've heard Sarah's mistakes, but Abraham made some too. But what I want you to understand is that Sarah was there every step of the journey with Abraham. She was part of the process. She was part of the story. And this is what the Bible says about Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. As you're turning there or looking up at the screen, let me say this, that Sarah was the one married to an old geezer and dealing with a dead womb. That woman better have had some faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, reading it to you out of the Passion Translation, Sarah's faith embraced the miracle power to conceive even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. Sarah was a woman of faith. In fact, I want to read you a portion of verse 11 out of the Amplified. It said, she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. Now, when I was reading that, I thought that's almost exactly what Paul said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. So here's what I want to say. Mama had the same faith Daddy did. You can't over-exaggerate the importance. Every mother, look at me. Your faith matters. Your influence is important. And even in the absence sometimes of a godly man, a godly woman can change a destiny. Your faith can overcome obstacles. And maybe they're not the best of circumstances, but you have Almighty God. Sarah's story is a testimony of patience and faith in God's promises. And she changed, she not only birthed a nation, she changed the world. This is what Mother's Day is about, celebrating world changers. And then the next mama I want to talk about, and I know you're all familiar with Jochebed. You talk about her all the time. How many of you are familiar with Jochebed? How about her son, Moses? Go with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I want to read this to you out of the Amplified. It says, now Amram, a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took as his wife Jochebed, a daughter of Levi. And the woman became pregnant and bore a son. And when she saw that he was exceedingly beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Now, this story is important because you know that when she became pregnant, it was a very dangerous time to bring a baby into the world. How many of you know there was a crazy Pharaoh that had given an edict to kill all of the baby boys born of the Hebrews? So Jochebed was bringing a baby into the world in a dangerous time. I know there are some mamas that can relate. It's never the best time. But she brought a baby into the world, and by faith she refused to allow the danger of her culture to impact her child. She preserved her child by faith. And the Bible says she hid him for 3 months, and when she was no longer able to hide him, you know the story as well as I do. When she was no longer able to hide him, she put him in an ark, a floating basket. One day when I meet her, I want to know how you conceive that idea. Because the way I read it, she was trusting Almighty God with her child. She cast him upon the waters. I'm thinking there's crocodiles in them there waters. They big crocodiles. But she put her baby in the water and she floated him downstream. And you know how Miriam, his sister, followed him. And when Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, Miriam presented herself. And this is something that I know I've read. I don't know how many times I read it. But earlier this week when I was putting it together, I saw something as if I'd seen it for the first time. Put up on the screen, if you would, verse 9 of chapter 2. This is amazing. It says, then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, talking to, actually, Jochebed. Because Miriam went and got mom. And brought mom, because Pharaoh's daughter knew this was a Hebrew, and she said, find me a Hebrew. Miriam went and got mom. Brought mom to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. Shut up. This is the goodness. She got paid to do what she would have done for free. Why? Because she trusted God. Are you seeing anything good in this? She trusted God and she got paid to do what she would have done for free. Kind of like casting your bread out on the waters and finding it again. The child was brought back into her home and she did what she would have wanted to do. God gave her back her son. Because she operated in faith. I'm telling you, God watches out for mama. God listens to mama. Mama's prayers are amazing. Jaleesa called my mother. We've never had biological children, but she cares for all of you as if she birthed you. And it doesn't matter your age. She prays for you. I say amen. As I hear her praying. When I walk by and I hear her call out one of your names, I say amen. I know how God listens to her prayers. I've been the beneficiary of it. So what I'm saying is, mama, keep praying. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your stepchildren. Pray for your foster children. Pray for those greats. Because you're calling them to their destiny and God is listening. And listen, God will make sure and recompense you. You will be blessed for doing for God what you would be willing to do for free. That blessed me. I thought only God would do that. Jochebed's faith and ingenuity not only saved her son, but ultimately saved a nation. Yeah, it's a man's world, all right. But we wouldn't be nothing without some praying mamas. Now, when I was putting together my sermon, I couldn't put it to bed because there was something I was missing, and that part I didn't get till last night. I thought, there's a mama I ain't recognizing. And then it dawned on me, Eunice. I've got to talk about Eunice. And to talk about Eunice, I got to mention Lois, because Lois was grandma. So if you would go with me to 2 Timothy. As we're turning there, Jaleesa mentioned it. This is where I got to chase a rabbit in metal for a little bit. Please, if you're going to pretend to have faith, be sincere in your faith. Even the Bible says that he would rather you be hot or cold. But being indifferent, what am I saying? I'm saying it's a sincere faith that changes generations. It's not pretend faith. Don't be holy on Sunday and unholy on Monday. Because your children are watching you and they have very little tolerance for hypocrisy. Y'all listen to what I'm saying. Our faith has got to be genuine because it's being observed. And since we're talking particularly about mamas, mama, understand your children are watching you. They're listening to you. And when your faith is sincere, they will adopt it. But when it's insincere, they will reject it. I remember one time when my wife and I were ministering in Louisiana in a little church. And they had a guy coming in and he was preaching the revival. We were just attending. And the revivalist, the evangelist's daughter, I don't know, we'd been married a year, maybe two, I think the first year. And this young lady came up to me and propositioned me. Just told me straight up she wanted to have sex with me. So I did what any newly married man would do. I went and got my wife. There's wisdom right there, y'all. And I went and got my wife, and I said, babe, we got to talk to this young girl's troubled. And what we found out was Daddy was a pretender. In the pulpit preaching, shouting hallelujah, but outside the pulpit a monster. And she was trying to run as far away from that hypocritical faith as she could. And my wife and I just loved on her and tried to tell her there's a sincere faith and God's got a better destiny for you than the path you're on. And I wished I could say that I walked away, that we walked away from that with confidence that she was touched. But it's hard to overcome an ungodly influence. You follow what I'm saying? The thing about Lois and Eunice is I'm about to read their faith was sincere. There were no holes in their faith. When Eunice watched Lois, she saw a sincere faith and she grew in it and she adopted it and she made it her own. And then when Timothy came along, he watched Mama and Grandma and he saw no holes in their faith. What they were in church, they were at home. And Timothy grew in such a level of faith that Paul said, that's my son. He's like me. He became Paul's traveling companion all because, and Paul gave credit to where credit was due. Paul didn't say, I birthed this faith in you. Paul said, your grandma and your mama, they birthed this faith in you. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? There is a way to make sure the next generation is not lost to the darkness. And that's sincere faith. That's love and grace and goodness and kindness. And making our children fall in love with God. Not making them out to be a tyrant nor an actor. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. A faith that builds a legacy. A contagious faith. Paul said, I'm calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. A faith that first lived, not just now and then, first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm fully persuaded dwells in you also. Now, it's interesting to me, I don't want to read too much into it, but it's interesting to me that Paul gave no credit to Daddy. Eunice, we do know, was married to a Greek, so she was in a biracial marriage. And as a Greek, she being a Jew, him being a Greek, he possibly was not a believer. But she did not let that obstacle. She didn't say, I got to keep my faith squashed. I got to keep my faith down. I'll celebrate God on Sundays, but when I come home, I'll keep it quiet. No, she lived her faith in such sincerity and passion that Timothy watched her as a child, and I'm going to show you in just a minute. She trained Timothy when he was a child. Timothy said, I want to be like Mama. I'm preaching better than y'all are, amen. Timothy said, I want to be like my mama because my mama knows God. Mother, you can change the legacy of your family. Beyond that, you can change the legacy of the city. Beyond that, you can change the legacy of a generation. Beyond that, you can touch the whole world. You can do it just by being sincere in your faith. And understand that as a mama, that is not a lowly title. That's an amazing title. You get to mother, to nurture faith, sincerity, and love, and goodness. Mm. Hallelujah, Father. Go with me to chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. You, however, continue in the things, he's talking to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Who did he learn them from? Mama. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The reason I'm saying is we started out with a mother who became pregnant out of wedlock. And maybe, listen, thank God if you got a godly man in your life. We need daddies too. Father knows we need good earthly fathers. But I want to say to those mothers, whether they're here in person or watching us online or even watching us from other nations, even if you don't have a godly man, you can still be a godly woman. You can still make an amazing difference. In God, you are enough because His grace is sufficient. Paul was so impressed by Timothy's faith that he adopted Timothy as his own spiritual son, but he gave credit to his mama. What an amazing mama. And now last, the last woman I want to talk about is Susanna Wesley. Susanna, I have no scriptures to refer to because she's not in the Bible, but she's an amazing, amazing woman. Gave birth to 19 children. I want to say that again. Didn't adopt. Gave birth to 19 children. When her children, she was a homeschooler who took the responsibility for her children's education upon herself. And at 5 years old, Steve, she began to teach in the scriptures in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Two of her children, John and Charles, grew up to have all of the gifts of the Spirit operate through their ministry. Wow. Start a revival that gave birth to the Methodist Church. Wow. Susanna Wesley was given credit by John for everything he knew about God and scriptures. Wow. What a mama. Yes. Today we celebrate mothers, because you're worthy of celebration. Because your influence is undeniable. And you have the ability within you. I'm not done with my sermon. I got a few more things I want to read, but I just want to encourage you to know that God is with you, God is for you, and God is in you. And it doesn't matter how that was brought about. It does. I've heard people say he was an accident, she was an accident, I was an accident. No, no, no. There are no accidents. We may not have planned for things, but God saw what was going to happen before the foundation of the world, and He made plans. He made plans for your welfare. He made plans to take care of you. He made plans to take care of your child, and He made plans to make something great of both you and your children. In closing, I want to borrow a few words from Proverbs 31. I don't want to read the whole thing, but this is just a good way to finish today's sermon. So you can run out of here and go eat a big old giant piece of cake. And let everyone tell you how wonderful you are. I'm going to give out some gift cards. And I told Miss Daisy, I said, I want to give out a gift card. We're not going to do it this way. I'm going to do it another way. But I said, we'll give a gift card to the youngest mother, to the oldest mother, and the best looking mother. And my wife said, you better not do that. But we'll do it another way. Because I don't have enough gift cards in y'all, the most beautiful mamas. Who can find an awesome, capable wife or mother? She's worth more than the finest jewels. Her husband / children can rely on her. And she makes their life better every single day. Amen. She's all about energy and strength and works tirelessly. And mama said, you ain't got a clue. She faces the future with strength and dignity. And she can laugh at the days to come. When she talks, wisdom comes out. And she always gives kind advice. She keeps an eye on her household and doesn't tolerate laziness. Shandalaba. Her kids respect and bless her. Her husband can't stop praising her. Many women do amazing things, but you? You're the hottest of them all. I mean, the best. You're a sexy beast. Stop it, Cleve. I'm trying to be holy up in here. Looks can be deceiving and beauty fades, but a woman who respects the Lord deserves praise. Go ahead. Celebrate all she's achieved. Let her actions show everyone how remarkable she is. Mamas, would you stand to your feet one last time? Just want to say thank you. And we want to pray a special prayer. So, daddies, stand to your feet as well. And if you're near a mother, put your hand on her shoulder. We just want to prophesy over you the goodness and the love of God. Father, we thank you for these amazing individuals. You said it wasn't good for man to be alone. So you created Isha. You created a masterpiece. And we get to call her mom. We get to call her wife. We get to call her our own. So, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Let every dream come to pass, Father. Let them be adorned both in the spirit and in the natural. Father, we bless our mamas today. We say you're worthy of praise. May every dream come true. May God be with you in the morning, throughout the day, and in the evening. May no harm come near you. May you know every day of your life that you are loved. May you never need to wonder if you are appreciated. May the words of praise come to you so frequently and so often that you know that the love that we have for you is just a mere reflection of the love he has for you. And may you rise up and become who God has ordained you to be. May no man hold you back, but may you rise up. May the anointing that's within you come out. May the words that have been hidden in your heart be spoken. May the songs you've never had the courage to sing be finally heard. May you know that you are God's gift to not only this church, but this generation. And if you agree with me this morning, shout. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And now you have heard the first truly dedicated Mother's Day message. No promises you'll hear the same thing next year. God bless you. Have a happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next week.